Hey everyone, Michael here. Hope you're doing well. Listen, we are jumping back into Proverbs 27 and the series, the 31 books of Proverbs. We're on the 27th chapter today. Again, as I said in previous videos, my strong encouragement is for you to go back and actually do this monthly. Okay, so if you're joining us on the 27th chapter here today, there's obviously one all the way to 27. It'll actually be to 31, but do this every month. Here's why. Because if you go back through and cycle through day 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., you're going to find that each month you learn something new as you watch this teaching and read the Word. It's so interesting how God's Word will speak to us in different ways at different times in our lives as we have different things happening and going on in our lives. So I want to challenge you to do that. Hey, grab your Bibles. NLT, New Living Translation Version is what I am using. We're going to take a minute and pray before we get started here and jump into Proverbs 27. Also got the highlighter in case you want to highlight anything along the way. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to take some time here today and teach and talk through and read through really together your truth. I pray if those are doing this individually or as a group, whether they're watching or they're listening, I just ask God that this would be a great time of revealing your truth that would really shed light and share truth in their life as they listen or watch. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, starting in Proverbs 27 here and verse 1, don't brag about tomorrow. Now, I have this one highlighted, and I think this is so important, but I want to read before I kind of unpack it a little bit. It says, don't brag about tomorrow since you don't know what the day will bring. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible talking about the future. And it talks about the fact that we can prepare, we can plan, we can kind of set goals. All of those things are healthy. You know, Zig used to talk a lot about, which I love, if there's hope in the future, if there's hope in the future, there's power in the present. I missed it there for a minute, but hope in the future, power in the present. And when you think about that, it's really important because if you do not have something to look forward to, if you're living your life and you're waking up today and you're doing it primarily just because that's what you did yesterday, and there's no real focus or no real goal or no real reason to get you out of bed, you got to find that reason. You got to find that switch that you can flip on that gets you motivated for the day. Those are important things. But it also talks about here, don't brag about tomorrow since you don't know what the day will bring. We have no idea what's going to happen in our life. There was a story. I had a good friend that was making an introduction with someone just recently. It's crazy. He ended up passing away. His kids were in the fountain locally in South Florida, and he got electrocuted, basically. And it's crazy to think about that. Young guy, family man, great guy, and we just never know what's going to happen. I got to tell you, as you're watching this, we don't know the future. We don't know tomorrow. You don't know tomorrow. I don't know tomorrow. So it's so important as we live our life that we say, okay, let's plan for the day, but let's not brag about, hey, next week I'm going to do this, and because we just don't know. Verse 2, let someone else praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, not your own lips. Now, this is something that, again, as a society, we can sometimes struggle with, and you have to find the balance between being confident and praising yourself. And that's why a lot of times it's not your responsibility to judge someone else as to whether or not they are praising themselves, because there can be a very fine line between confidence and basically pride, right? Unhealthy pride, we'll call it. And so we need to make sure that we focus on ourselves. Also, there's people out there with maybe lower self-esteems that if somebody is confident and walking boldly and strong in their life, they may say, well, that person is arrogant. And maybe they're not arrogant. Maybe they're just confident and they're walking forward because they're excited about life. They're excited about maybe what God's doing in their life. And that comes through in their speech and their talk and their demeanor and how they operate and live. But someone maybe with a lower self-esteem might look at that and say, hey, you know what? That person's being arrogant. And maybe that's not the case. So we have to evaluate each and every one of ourselves in our own lives. But the idea here is to let others praise you. Don't just talk about how amazing you are with everybody that you interact with, right? Verse 3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but the resentment caused by a fool is even heavier. Anger is cruel and wrath is like a flood, but jealousy is even more dangerous. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than kisses from an enemy. Again, this goes back to the verse before when Proverbs was talking about constructive criticism. I'm looking at that in the lane here. Wounds from a sincere friend, right, are better than kisses from an enemy. A person, verse 7, a person who is full refuses honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. You've probably seen that in times past where you're in a place where you're super hungry and you go somewhere and eat, you're like, oh, that was the best meal I've ever had. Well, was it? Maybe it was, but maybe you were just really hungry. Okay. Verse 8, a person who strays from home is like a bird that strays from its nest. You know, that's a real simple proverb, and I think the context here is stay focused on what's in front of you, you know? In other words, provide for your family, take care of your family, look for ways to get all in with your family. If you're in a place where you have a negative mindset because you're raising kids or, you know, you're married or whatever it may be in some way, shape, or form, try and look for ways to shape and reshape your mindset into what are some of the benefits and positives from those things. Find the positives and don't look at the negatives. Verse 9, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet perfume and incense. Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than to a brother who lives far away. All right, so what is it talking about here? So first off, it talks about never abandon a friend, right? Okay, so remember when I said in some of the other chapters where you're like, you're setting up your group or your posse, right? Your inner circle, whatever you want to call it. You're setting up people in your life that you're building relationship with. You're pouring into them. They're pouring into you. You know that when disaster strikes, when struggle occurs, you can lean on them. They'll be there for you because you've invested into their life and they're investing into your life. It's important. Be wise, verse 11, my child, and make my heart glad. Then I will be able to answer my critics. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Again, all about kind of preparing in advance. A prudent person foresees danger. That alludes to the reality that you're paying attention in life. Someone who is prudent is paying attention in life. He is or she is saying, hey, this could maybe happen or that could maybe happen. And so it says they foresee danger. They're not a prophet. They're not in a place necessarily where they're saying, I know this is going to occur, but they're just kind of putting two and two together and saying the probability of this happening is strong and I want to prepare for that, okay? It's important. So be wise in your life and evaluate what you're doing with your own personal home, right? Your house, your finances, your marriage, your kids, and try and look for ways to invest. Let me give you a quick example, a little side note. So we don't do this all the time, so I want to preface it with this. But one of the things that I will try and do with our family, namely our kids, and my wife's involved as well, but a couple times a week, is sit down and do devotions. Now, that might be reading a lot of scripture together. That might be watching one of these Proverbs together or discussing it. That might be reading just one or two verses. That might be reading a book or a chapter or two of a book. My goal is not necessarily to pick something up and read it from A to Z with the kids. That's not the goal. The goal for me is, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the goal for me is to try and be in a place where I'm getting content, whether it be from God's word or whether it be from a book or whatever, that can apply to their life and try and draw out situations that they're currently in to help them walk through those situations in life. And I think that goes right to the idea of a prudent person, right? And it goes to the idea of kind of preparing your family, preparing where you are and what you're doing. Verse 13, get security from someone who guarantees a stranger's debt. Get a deposit if he does it for foreigners. A loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse. Do you ever have that happen where, you know, you wake up in the morning like, yeah, somebody's just motivated for the day. And you're like, oh, just, it's too loud. And you might've been saying something kind. Just be careful. It's like walking into your kid's bedroom and flipping the lights on. Oh, Dad, why did you do that? You know, maybe sometimes you have to do that because you got to get him out of bed. But just be mindful of what you're doing there in the morning and interacting with others. That doesn't mean you change you to conform to other people. That just means you're considerate. Verse 15, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. Here's Solomon again talking about quarrelsome wives. Now, remember, if you know his story, he had a lot of wives. So maybe that's where a lot of this is coming from. But at the end of the day, it's definitely something to say, how are we interacting one with another, spouse to spouse? Great thing that we can take from that. Verse 16, stopping her complaints, this is the quarrelsome woman or wife, is like trying to stop the wind. If you ever try and stop the wind, ain't going to happen. Or trying to hold something with greased hands. Verse 17, look at this. I'm going to read it together. Very important. I have this highlighted. I'm slowing down because I think this is important. Verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Now, you may have heard this before. As iron sharpens iron, that's kind of a cliche that's shared around oftentimes in life. But we don't often think about actually the process of iron sharpening iron. You know, when iron sharpens iron, what happens is there are sparks and there's rough edges that get taken off. And there's friction that occurs, right? Friction creates sparks. And so when you think about that, when you have friends in your life, the question is, are they sharpening you, challenging you, encouraging you the same way that iron sharpens iron? In other words, they're not just being like, oh, that's great. That's so amazing. Good for you. That's incredible. I'm so proud of you. Just kind of helping you. It's okay. You know, I know, you know, oh, they said this to you. I'm sorry. You know, that's too bad. No. We need less of that. We need more encouragement to somebody say, hey, listen, okay, they said that. There's nothing you can do about that. What are you doing to grow you? What are you doing to become a stronger mentally yourself? What are you doing to grow yourself personally and really challenging you, right? As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Verse 18, as workers who tend a fig tree are allowed to eat the fruit, so workers who protect their employer's interests will be rewarded. Hey, those of you that are working for companies out there, you want to make more money? If you raise your hand, if you want to make more money, you want to be in a situation where you're promoted. You want to be in a situation where you have maybe more responsibility. You're even greater respected in your company. Well, take care of your employer's interests. In other words, take care of the company you work with. Have you ever thought about the fact that instead of just saying, well, I'm working for this guy or this girl and she keeps all the money and he keeps all the money and da-da-da-da-da-da or whatever it is. First off, they took the risk to start the company. That's number one. Number two, they're sticking their neck out against all the things in the world, lawsuits and all kinds of stuff that could come. And you don't feel as an employee any of those things, right? They're in a place where they've taken massive risk to start where they're at, as I mentioned. And so now what's happening is, as you work for the company, if you add more value to the company, if you're working for somebody that's considerate, right, and a quality person, then ultimately the company's going to grow and a quality boss is going to see that. So you're literally, if you don't put in your best efforts to the company, you're literally sabotaging your own income. Think about that. But if you put in your best effort to the company, you're giving yourself a better opportunity for growth yourself. So think about that as you work for companies. Verse 19, as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. Just as death and destruction are never satisfied, so human desire is never satisfied. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. You cannot separate fools from their foolishness, even though you grind them like grain with mortar and pestle. Know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds. I would venture to say that most of you don't have flock. You don't have animals running around your backyard. So you don't just check out on this verse. What this is saying, as far as the state of your flocks, you know, years ago, most folks at the time that this was written, they were farmers. So their livestock was how you evaluated someone's worth, their value, their net worth, their wealth. And what it's saying here is know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds. In other words, pay attention to what's in your hands right now. You know, maybe the money that's in your bank account, your investments, the money that you make every week or every 2 weeks or every month. Like, what are you doing with that money? What are you buying? Are you buying things that you think you need, but you really don't need? Like, what does all of that look like for you? Know the state of your situation and put your heart into caring for them. That's probably one of the biggest distractions of this right here, right? The phone. I'm holding it up for those on podcasts. You're in a situation where that is something that is a massive distractor, and you can be spending time on that stuff, and it actually takes you away from focusing. And I've done this myself, by the way, too. So I'm not just pointing the finger here. I'm pointing it at me, really. But I'm encouraging all of us to say, let's know the state of our own situation. Verse 24 says, for riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. After the hay is harvested and the new crop appears and the mountain grasses are gathered in, your sheep will provide wool for clothing and your goats will provide the price of a field. And you will have enough goat's milk for yourself, your family, and your servant girls. Now, what this is saying, again, is paying attention to what you have. Now, I liken this in some ways to being disciplined with what's being put in your hands so that way you can prepare financially for your future. It's so important. We got to make good, prudent decisions. Listen, that was Proverbs 27. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at 28.